This is Radio Superior 1950, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s. This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the lakes from Superior, Wisconsin. Jack McKenna speaking. It's Sunday night, folks. January 1st, 1950. Lou Martin has the 6 o'clock news. Rapid Ray is in with the sports this New Year's Day. We have a new feature called Over the Cracker Barrel with Lucille Horn. And hold on, we have new music from 1950.
Is it good music?
I'd say it's good, but it isn't big band or swing. It's just different. The 6 o'clock Sunday night news is brought to you by Holden Insurance Company, where Paul Holden and his staff wish you a happy new year. Happy New Year to you, too, Blue.
Happy New Year, Jack, and good listeners. Chinese nationals have abandoned Canton and lose ground to the communists. And the High Bridge Bill goes to President Truman. We begin our world report from Hong Kong.
This is Daryl Berrigan, your correspondent, with a delayed report from Hong Kong. Telephone reports from Canton say nationalist forces abandoned the South China city. All organized resistance ended within the provincial capital. Entry of communist troops is now awaited. Earlier information from Canton says troops had pulled out, but this is coupled with reports that the nationalists had been ordered north to defend the city. New Zealand Presbyterian missionaries told an Associated Press correspondent in Canton they had heard heavy gunfire around Kong Sen, 10 miles distant. There is nothing as yet to indicate whether the nationalists were quitting the city under military pressure or whether they were attempting to reach the escape corridors ahead of the swift-moving Red Troops. Communist troops were last reported driving down the Canton-Hankow Railroad to within 30 miles of Canton. There was no telling whether the gunfire at Kong Sen was Red or Nationalist artillery or both. As yet, Hong Kong has heard no reports of Nationalist resistance. Instead, 80,000 government troops in the Canton region face isolation by encircling Reds and by insufficient shipping to escape to the sea. The British massed troops near the border separating British Kowloon territory and China proper, but they did not expect trouble. The nationalist government fled to Chung King. Only hope of Canton's defenders to continue the flight lay in escaping into southern areas of Canton, Kwang Tung province, or evacuation by sea to Hainan Island or Formosa. Red units are closing a giant pincer on the garrison, making it difficult or impossible for the nationalists to slip into Kwang Si province. Hope for Canton is gone. Like other major nationalist cities, the refugee capital appeared ready to be plucked by the Reds with hardly more than token resistance. Martial law was clamped on to prevent rioting and looting. 500 miles to the northwest, grim, dingy Chungking was officially proclaimed the new capital. All important government officials still in Canton, including Premier Yen Shishen, plan to leave by plane today. In Hong Kong, this is Daryl Berrigan, Associated Press.
The American people have been given assurances by its top military officer. General Omar Bradley says a United States plan against an atomic blitz is underway. Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Bradley conceded in a speech before the American Forestry Association that Russia's atomic explosion last August preceded his staff's earliest estimates by several months. The legislation to build a toll-free high bridge between Duluth and Superior now goes to President Truman. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has more.
The bill is controversial on this side of the harbor, Lou. The U.S. Senate sent to the White House late Friday a bill that authorizes Duluth to purchase two existing bridges between Superior and Duluth and allows Duluth, at its discretion, to build a high bridge between the two cities. The measure, which awaits Mr. Truman's signature, authorizes the acquisition of the Interstate and Arrowhead bridges. The question has been raised whether Duluth actually intends to construct a high-level bridge, because the bill states that Duluth has all the say, while Superior has veto power over any suggestions for a bridge made by Duluth. It is the opinion of many that Superior is powerless to make Duluth go ahead with the construction of a new bridge. Superior writes in a referendum several years ago, voted more than 4-1 favoring a new high bridge. Because the bill has been passed by Congress, it is too late to eliminate the discretionary power granted Duluth. City Council President George Erickson says he intends to fight for a one-package deal, which will bring about the construction of a bridge as well as purchase of the existing toll spans. Mr. Erickson accompanied City Manager William Deegan to Washington and aided in the passage of the bridge bill. The Superior Council President is writing a letter to Duluth Mayor George Johnson suggesting that a meeting be held to review the whole high bridge program and to get moving so that they can start with immediate acquisition of the two bridges and the erection of a new bridge, Lou.
The sea lamprey parasite indirectly is hurting the Great Lakes fisheries, in addition to taking a big toll of lake trout in the lower Great Lakes. And the Fish and Wildlife Service reported that Friday. The sea lamprey has not been found in Lake Superior. In reducing the supply of lake trout, the sea lamprey's primary victim, that's causing commercial fishermen to make larger catches of other fish. The agency says fishery scientists emphasize that any program directed toward the control of the sea lamprey must take account of indirect effects such as increased exploitation of the remaining trout and redirect commercial fishing activities toward other fish. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:06. Jack McKenna has this message from Holden Insurance Company.
Thank you, Lou. Holden's wish you a happy new year, friends. It is certainly a blessing that we have our allotted time on this sphere, divided into years, for they provide a pause in our daily routine, which in turn gives us an opportunity for introspection. Foolish indeed is the man who does not use this pause in his daily life to reevaluate himself and resolve to make the changes needed to improve his character and forward his career. That's Holden's Finance Company in Superior at 10th and Tower. Happy New Year.
A total of 25 million plus tons of iron ore was shipped from the Superior docks during the 1949 navigation season, as the city again led all other Great Lake ports in the shipment of this vital material. Superior Evening Telegram reporter Paul Scamser has the story.
For a time during the 1949 season, it seemed that the ore docks were on their way to a new peacetime record, Lou. But the steel strike, which tied up the Great Lakes shipping fleet through October, cut down total shipments to some 4 million tons below the 1948 figure of 29 million tons. More than 9,000 vessel arrivals and departures were checked through the Wisconsin and Minnesota entries in the Superior and Duluth Harbor during the 1949 shipping season, according to statistics compiled by the District Corps of U.S. Army Engineers. This was a decrease of 1,744 over the 10,900 passages recorded for 1948. Partially offsetting the number of passages at the twin ports being smaller was the increased number of ships wintering at the head of the lakes. 12 big freighters tied up for the winter in the twin ports, 8 of these being berthed at the Knutson Brothers Shipbuilding and Dry Dock Company in Superior. Docked in Superior are the George S. Baker, E.J. Buffington, Isaac L. Elwood, the Nortman B. Ream, the Bethlehem Pathfinder, and the Joseph Selwood. The winter fleet in Duluth is docked at the DM&IR dock and will be repaired by the Knutson firm during the winter. It includes the William G. Clyde, E.H. Gary, B.F. Affleck, and the W.A. McGonigal. the head of the lake shipping season got underway on March 27th with the arrival of the J.P. Walsh at the Farmers Union Elevator and closed with the departure of the Joseph S. Morrow on December 13th. Lou?
Thanks. Superior Evening Telegram's Paul Scampser. Superior's fire loss for 1949 was approximately $25,000, the lowest since 1905 when it was $21,000. Fire damage reached its peak in 1907 when loss was estimated at $1,521,000. The high figure for 1907 was due to the loss by fire of the Freeman and Republic mills on the bayfront, along with the loss of many homes in the Connors Bay area. In making his yearly report, Fire Chief Olaf Sorensen stated that the 1905 figure could be tripled compared to today's dollar, making 1949 the best year in Superior's history. The number of fires in 1949 is down to 595 as compared to the 728 calls for 1948. The largest fire loss for 1949 occurred on April 17th at the Tower Hotel, when loss to the building and the contents was set at $3,000. Chief Sorensen says we still have too many building fires, so the Fire Prevention Bureau is constantly inspecting schools, hospitals, churches, convalescent homes, and all industrial properties. Now, with tonight's editorial, here is Superior Evening Telegram editor Clough Gates.
Well, happy New Year to you, Lou. As 1949 fades into history, events of the last 12 months come sharply into focus. All in all, we say 1949 was an exceptional year for Superior. Major developments include selection of Superior as terminus for the $90 million Canadian pipeline from Alberta, Canada, launching of a huge construction project which will considerably expand operations of the Farmers Union Elevator, and the announcement that construction of a Huron-Portland cement plant will begin in 1950. 1949 will go down in Superior's history as the one in which the city became an oil town. By next fall, oil is expected to flow from Canada into the huge tanks to be constructed on the 700-acre tract acquired by the Imperial Oil Limited. When navigation opens in the spring of 1951, this oil will be loaded into tankers for shipment down the Great Lakes to Sarnia, Ontario, to Canadian refineries. But an even greater development than this seems destined for Superior. There are reports from high official sources that eventually a refinery will be built in Superior. Greatest impetus for Superior's progress during 1949 was given by the New Industries Bureau, organized after the war to stimulate the city's growth. This organization had the help of many persons, especially from City Manager William Deegan, who smoothed out many wrinkles to clinch the pipeline for Superior. Lou?
Superior Evening Telegram editor Clough Gates. Finally, Jack and good listeners, Superior Public Librarian Lucille May reports that the biggest book in demand for 1949 was Norman Mailer's The Naked and the Dead, the greatest story ever told by Fulton Osler, and Rand's The Fountainhead and Streeter's Father of the Bride. And no, Alley-Oop didn't make the top 10, Jack.
Oh, hardy, har, har. For your information, I read The Fountainhead and The Greatest Story Ever Told this year.
Turned over a new leaf, did we?
And a few pages, too. Not many pictures in The Fountainhead. Not like your biography, The Martinhead. Lou Martin, the best newsman of 1950. But it's early, folks. Looks like a chilly January 1st, 1950, folks. Clear skies and a high around 5 above. So bundle up, friends. Now the long-awaited new music of 1950. Some new names and some familiar names. Let's start with a new one. This is Eileen Barton, and If I Knew You Were Coming, I'd Have Baked a Cake on the Martin and McKenna New Year's show.
Come in! Well, 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 look who's here! I haven't seen you in many a year. If I
hat-cha-do, a hat-cha-do, a hat-cha-do. Had you dropped me a letter, I'd have hired a band, grand band in the land. Had you dropped me a letter, I'd have hired a band and spread the welcome mat for you. Oh, I don't know where you came from, 'cause I don't know where you've been, but it really doesn't matter. Grab a chair and fill your platter and dig, dig, dig right in. If I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake, hired a band. Goodness sake, if I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake. Hot-cha-do, hot-cha-do, hot-cha-do.
Martin, and if I knew you were coming, I'd have baked a cake on KUWS. I don't know about cake, but the Aero Cafe has a great dinner waiting for you today, folks. Superior's most modern and reasonably priced cafe has complete dinners. Listen to this, friends. Soup or juice, whipped potatoes, buttered asparagus, hot cloverleaf rolls with butter, a beverage and ice cream with the main course, Virginia baked ham with raisin sauce for $1.05. How about that? And that's their expensive meal. Other full dinners at the Aero Cafe for 90 cents and up. The Aero Cafe in East End at 3217 East 5th Street. Open all night long. Hey, that new lady who likes crackers will be in next.
It isn't that she likes crackers. It's what she calls her column, Over the Cracker Barrel.
What's she got against crackers? I love them.
Well, I'm sure she likes crackers, but...
I hope she doesn't eat crackers in bed. It leaves crumbs everywhere and makes sleeping miserable.
How should I know if she eats crackers in bed?
So, what's wrong? Hey, friends, here's another new one from 1950. Oh, boy. This is the Mills Brothers and Glowworm on the Martin and McKenna Crackers Show.
Shine, little glowworm, glimmer, glimmer. Shine, little glowworm, glimmer, glimmer. Lead us less too far, we wander. Love's sweet voice is calling yonder. Shine, little glowworm, glimmer, glimmer. Hey there, don't get dimmer, dimmer. Light the path below above and lead us on to love. Thank you.
fluorescent wired glow for the female of the species. Turn on the AC and the DC. This night will use a little brightening. Light up, you little old bug of lightning. When you gotta glow, you gotta glow. Glow, little glowworm, glow. Glow, little glowworm, glow and glimmer. Swim through the sea of night, little swimmer. Thou every nautical mo'evil. Illuminate yon wood's primeval. See how the shadows deep and darken. You and your chicks should get to sparking. I got a gal that I love so. Glow, little glowworm, glow. Turn the key on. You are equipped with taillight neon. You got a cute vest pocket master, which you can make both slow and faster. I don't know who you took the shine to, or who you're out to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Go, little glow and go.
Mills Brothers' newest hit, Glowworm, on KUWS.
It's my distinct pleasure to introduce Mrs. Lucille Ham and her feature, Over the Cracker Barrel in Upper Wisconsin. Good Sunday evening, ma'am.
Lou says you eat crackers in bed.
I did not.
I just adore you, too. At the risk of giving away my age, I have to say I've listened to you boys since the roaring 20s, and I've enjoyed every single one of your broadcasts. You're my heroes.
Oh, go on.
Well, I don't know about that.
Shucks.
We try.
Oh, I just adore you two.
And we adore you three.
Me three? Oh, what a lovely sense of wit you have.
Don't encourage him or he'll never stop.
Encouragement is essential in nurturing our humanity, young man. While I was a schoolmarm not too long ago, I made sure that every one of my pupils felt special.
Wow. That's incredible.
That she was a school teacher?
No, that she called you a young man.
That's that cheery wit of yours again, Jackie. Just wonderful. And it was such a wonderful 1949. I just had to share these bits of encouragement lest we forget them. Here in Superior, we're greeting the new year with word that an oil pipeline and possibly an oil refinery will be coming. My goodness sakes alive, the possibilities are endless. And in Ashland County, we celebrated the opening of the first north-south highway that not long ago was a muddy mess between Glidden and Mellon. Now, State Highway 13 is a concrete ribbon of highway from Ashland to Medford. And this is such fun indeed. Hayward Lakes came away with 2 championship muskies this summer. Cal Johnson of Hayward and Lewis Spray of Rice Lake caught what may become known as the World Championship Muskie. And this is just wonderful. It's a marvel of modern conservation. The Swedish grouse has been found in Outer Island of the Apostle Islands group. And the run of smelt up rivers and along the shore of Ashland to Superior let loose with a bang. Markets as well as family washtubs were full of the silvery fish this past spring. We all know Chauncey the bear hunter of Iron River, the fellow who asks for things from big corporations and they give it to him. By golly, if he didn't ask Diane Skinner for her hand in marriage. And got it. Some say Diane was the huntress this time, and Chauncey the hunted. I leave you with this, Lou and Jackie, from Ed Bardell's Embers Cafe Wall in Spooner. It reads, "A waitress is a girl who thinks money grows on trays." Isn't that a treasure?
Priceless. So is calling Jack Jackie. Thank you, Lucille Horn, and her feature, Over the Cracker Barrel.
Let's do this again, and often I just treasure this experience.
Okay, Jackie?
Sure thing, Louie. Here's one for Lucy, a new singing couple, Les Paul and Mary Ford, and How High the Moon, on the Martin and McKenna Show. The moon. That's a biggie on KUWS. Boy, that's an interesting new sound. Let's welcome in the sports with Rabbit Ray Paulson. Hiya, Ray.
Hiya, Jackie.
I don't think I like Jackie. I've been called McCorkle, McCueball, Mac, and late for dinner. And I wasn't wild about any of those either.
Oh, just pulling your leg, Jake. Happy New Year, fans of the sporting world. The New Year's Eve Bonspiel opened in Superior today. A full field of stone hurlers will curl their hearts, or in this case, rinks out. Then there's the Battle of the Bowls. The biggest of all, the Rose Bowl, is expected to draw 103,000 people. Pappy Waldorf's Golden Bears of California are a 6-point favorite to beat the Big Ten's Ohio State. The Sugar Bowl has Coach Bud Wilkinson's undefeated Oklahoma Sooners squaring off against Louisiana State. And the Orange Bowl clash has Kentucky, 3-point favorites over Santa Clara. 10 months ago, one of golfing's greatest lay near death on a Texas roadside. Now, plucky Ben Hogan is blistering the fairways again. Not convinced by doctors that he would never stroke a ball again, Hogan shot a 2-under par at the Los Angeles Open today. The surging Celtics of Boston exited the National Basketball Association cellar with its 5th straight win. Led by Bob Kinney, they stuck it to the Fort Wayne Pistons 92-73 before an enthusiastic home crowd of 6,000. And the general manager of the Minneapolis Lakers says they'll hold a Bud Grant night February 28th. GM Max Winter says the Superior Cathedral High School basketball team is invited to play before the Lakers game. Grant was a 4-letter man in football, a 3-letter man in basketball, and a 2-letter man in baseball at Central High. He ended his collegiate career with the Minnesota Gophers and is now playing for the Lakers. He's one of Superior's greatest all-time athletes, ranking up there with Tuffy Lehmans, Ernie Nevers, and John Bone Hancock. Congrats to our own Harry Bud Grant. This is Rapid Ray Paulson reminding you that everyone loves a good sport. Jake?
And a boy, Ray. Think they'll have a Rapid Ray night?
Not unless I get a better jump shot.
Time for one more number from our new 1950s collection. This is one I know you like, friends. Nat King Cole and Mona Lisa on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Mona Lisa, men have named you. You're so like the lady with the mystic smile. Is it only 'cause you're lonely they had blamed you for that Mona Lisa strangeness in your smile? Do you smile to tempt a lover, Mona Lisa? Or is this your way to hide a broken heart? Many dreams have been brought to your doorstep. They just lie there and they die there. Are you warm? Are you real, Mona Lisa? Are just a cold and lonely, lovely work of art? To tempt the lover, Mona Lisa? Or is this your way to hide a broken heart? Many dreams had been brought to your doorstep. They just lie there and they die there. Are you warm? Are you real, Mona Lisa? Are just a cold and lonely, lovely work of art? Mona Lisa.
Nat King Cole and Mona Lisa on station KUWS. Well, I guess that's it, Lou. I'm done.
Me too. Nice that we didn't have any disasters today. A good way to start the 50s.
I don't know. Nothing like a good disaster to spice up a show.
Kind of a slice of heaven. No interruptions.
I don't like it.
Uninvited guests.
And I don't see this going anywhere.
Oh, I should have left when I had a chance.
Right now, we're here to let you know just what we think of the new music you two clowns are playing.
Hey, guys.
Prominent Republican Joe Raffoli. Station engineer Joe Gardonio.
Well, I'll tell you what. The good Americans in Superior have duly appointed me to head the new anti-smut, anti-commie, anti-sex organization.
Don't forget anti-litter. That was my idea.
You're against sex? We're against people who say that four-letter word except when there's an anti in front of it, McCarkle.
But sex is a three.
Look, McMartin, don't start in with us. We are the Superior Clean United Minds Group.
Superior Clean United Minds?
Yes, and we're here to talk about the new music you're playing on our public airwaves.
That stands for scum.
As you know, I've never liked this wild big band music you've been playing for the past umpteen years. It's disgraceful. It's un-American.
But jazz was invented in this country.
I don't think so. Now, country western music was invented here. Now, that's some good American stuff.
Fighting, drinking, being a hobo, that's our kind of music.
But the Colonel and the Superior Clean United Minds think this new music is A-OK.
You like something we're doing?
It's pretty snappy stuff.
Yes, sir. The 50s is going to be my kind of decade.
Well, getting back to the level-headed, normal American way of life we had before Roosevelt and Truman came along.
And it's easy to dance to, too.
Well, there's too much dancing and not enough drilling, if you ask the Colonel. But McCorkle, you get our approval.
I've always wanted scum on our side.
Say, Colonel, maybe we'd better change the group's name. That acronym is a little embarrassing.
There'll be no acrocronyism allowed in this group. I think it's in the rules or something somewhere.
Another happy ending, folks. Stay tuned for Our Miss Brooks, The Jack Benny Show, Amos Salandy, and Edgar Bergen. We'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial, the good Lord willing, and we play scum music. For Lou Martin, and this is Jack McKenna, wishing one and all a good night.
You know, McCorkle, I particularly liked that first song you played. How did that go again?
Oh, that one was like this. If I know you're a coming, I'd bake the cake.
No, that's just playing dumb and sappy. If I knew you were coming, I'd have pulled the shade, locked the door, turned out the light. Wackadoo, 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 wackadoo.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1950, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Fahrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Paul Guggenheimer, Tom Martinson, Don Hansen, Eric Olson, Kathy Berggren. All events reported on Radio Superior 1950 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.